I think every year we start with resolutions. How many of you made some resolutions? I'm not going to ask you what kind of resolutions that you made. And I know because some of you will, you know, have wonderful resolutions. How many of you have, you started the year with resolutions? It looks like only Pastor Vincent is putting up his hand. Come on, I need supporters. Yes. How many of you made some good resolutions? I believe all of us make good resolutions, right? You know, and I was just looking at some of the resolutions that people make. I was trying to Google and also do some studies in terms of resolution. And I realized, you know, almost if you realize, you know, you're almost making the same kind of resolution. Probably the number two becomes one this year. The following year, number one becomes the third. And we make almost the same kind of resolutions. I'm not going to go through the resolutions that we make or many people make in their lives. But I was just looking at numbers, you know, I like numbers particularly. I realized out of the many resolutions that people make, 47% of resolutions are about self-improvement. We want to improve our lives, right? And so 47% of our resolutions are self-improvement or education resolution. You know, we want to achieve certain things. You know, we want to climb up the career ladder, and so we want to engage in some kind of study. So 47% of them make resolutions that improves your life. 38%, right? None of you are here, right? 38% are related to our size, right? We want to reduce our size. We want to be like Pastor Vincent Samuel, right? And so it is weight, weight-related problems or resolutions that we make. And so it's interesting to note 38% of them make resolutions for weight. And money-related resolutions are 34%, right? We want to improve in our finances. We want to have bank balances, right? We want to have the spare cash that we can have something to lean on during rainy days. And lastly, when I was looking at all the numbers, I realized 31% of them make resolutions that are relationship. In other words, we want to build our families, right? Our relationship with one another, with our friends, with our in-laws or relatives or loved ones. So 31%. And so that's how people make their resolution. And it's interesting to know, look at numbers. When you look at all these things, and I realize this one word comes very strongly, change, right? We want to change. We want to have a change in our personal life. We want to have a change in our relationship. We want to have a change so that we'll have spare change in our pocket. And so if you realize all our resolutions, it's about change. We want a change in our life. And the passage that is given to us today, it is also about change. And Paul speaks about spiritual resolutions. You know, whenever you make resolution, there are three things that actually comes across in our life, right, or in our mind. Firstly, you know, we want, why we make a resolution? Because we want to achieve something, right? If you are, you know, if you are planning for your graduation, what do? You want to lose weight, right? You want to be trim. And so there is a reason I make a resolution because I want to achieve. The why comes in. And secondly, if you look at it, you know, and what do you want to change, right? I want to be something. I want to be somebody. And these are the things. So what do you want to change? So what do? Right? You cut down on your food content, right? You try to do a lot of exercise, a bit of walking, and walking during winter because you tend to reduce more weight. And lastly, and then you tell yourself, you know, how do I do about it? And so you have certain methodology that you tend to follow. And when I look at this particular passage, you know, I was trying to look in the perspective resolutions. Paul speaks about spiritual resolutions that we are called to make. And a couple of things which I'd like to share with you. Firstly, you know, as I told you, why do we do all these things? Why, as Christians, we need to do certain things, which is important for us, for our spiritual growth. As we just sung, we want to be a church that is ready when the Lord Jesus comes, right? We want to be alert. We want to be watchful. We want to be ready when Christ comes. And first thing, you know, when we ask this question, why? Why? And very interestingly, we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. You know, it says, why? Because we have been raised with Christ. You know, we have to make spiritual resolutions. Why? Because you and I have been raised with Christ. We were dead to our sins. Once upon a time, we said no to ourselves. But today, each and every one of us have been raised, born again. And we are sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and so Paul says, you know, we have to live a life for God because you and I have been raised with Christ. And so Paul, when you look at the couple of church verses from verses 1 to 4, Paul is speaking about, you know, I need to live a life raised with Christ to set our minds on heaven. He says in verse 1, set your hearts on things above, right, where Christ is seated. And in verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, I've been raised with Christ, and so I live for the glory of God. I'm heaven bound. I think of not the temporal things of this world, but I think of permanent things, which is related to God. And so Paul says that I live for the glory of God. And that's why if you read a couple of verses down, he says in this word, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed. Why? Because I live for the glory of God. Because I am raised with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God, Paul says, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's why he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or do, indeed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so why do we do that? Because we are Christians, my friend. We are Christians today. We love the Lord. We have come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have said no to our selfish desires and said, Lord, we want to live for your glory. And I think that is one of the reasons, I think, when we make resolutions. Why? Because we want to be someone. And so Paul says, you know, as Christians, we have to, whether you like it or not, you have to live for the glory of God. Whether you like it or not, my friend, you know, whether in your word and deed, you have to. It is not an optional thing. I have to, and you have to. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. And he doesn't say, if you've been raised, since you've been raised with Christ. And so, you know, we need to have, and just to look at the word again, you know, when Paul says, set your minds, your hearts, and all that thing, you know, a couple of things I wanted to share with you today also. You know, our position should also reflect the way we live. In other words, if I'm raised with Christ, then my living, my life should reflect my position with God, right? It is not because, you know, once upon a time I got saved, period. No. When Paul uses the word, he's actually speaking about growth. Not only I live for the glory of God, but I'm growing in my spiritual life. Look at the many metaphors that Paul uses. You know, Paul speaks about walking in the Spirit, not by the flesh. He speaks about, he uses architectural term, he uses agricultural term, he uses a military term, and he uses even games term, right? In running the race of life, standing firm for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is trying to say, that not only I'm raised with Christ, but I need to be living each and every day. Each and every day I need to be spiritually growing to become perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, today, you and I, dear friends, maybe you might not like the way I say it, you know, whether you like it or not, each and every one of us have to live for the glory of God. That's period. Whether in our words or deeds, the Lord expects each and every one of us, including me, right, to live a life for Him. Secondly, if we look at the passage, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, yes, you know, I want to be. And so, where do I start? Right? There should always be a starting point. And I do not know why people always make resolutions and they start with January the 1st. Do you know why? I myself do not have answers. Right? Right? We tend to tell ourselves, okay, fine, you know, I'll wait for January to come, and then I'll make some kind of resolution. I'll start with a year, and then we want to make some kind of things from the start of the year. And so, and very interestingly, the scriptures also talked about, where do we start? Where do we start? My friends, let me tell you, it's good to have resolutions about our improvement, to improve ourselves, about weight, or financial things, or whatever it is. But when I look at Paul's writing, and when I look at the scriptures very interestingly, I think Paul is telling us, let's start with relationships. Let's start with relationship. You want to be financially good? Wonderful, right? But these things can be done at a later time. Paul says, we need to start at our relationship, which is the key. And when you look at it very carefully, you know, Paul is saying in verse chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. In other words, actually, Paul, when Paul uses the word you, he's not using it in a very single tense. He's using it in a plural tense. In other words, he's saying you. That's the way Paul is saying. And so Paul is saying, start with the church. Right? And that's why he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, that you will be able to teach. You will be able to edify another person, encourage another person, help another person in the church. Right? Through your help, and at the same time, singing praises to God, you know, worshiping together with the church. And that's why the church comes together, to worship God together. Why did we share testimonies last week? Not to hear what is happening in our life, because it encourages another person in the faith. It encourages another person to lean on to God, to draw strength from God alone. And so Paul is saying, you know, start with the church relationship, right? Encourage, teach, admonish one another. Help one another. You know, help one another. That's why if you look at, you know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, right, to start in Jerusalem. Right? Start in Jerusalem. In all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. And so I think it is important to start our relationship with the church. How is our relationship with one another in the church? It's good to have wonderful resolutions, but how is our relationship in the church today? Are we able to say, encourage another person? Are we able to motivate another person? Are we able to say, you know, I'm living a good life? Paul says, you know, look at me. And that's the way Paul writes, you know, look at me because I follow Christ. Are we able to say to another person, you know, follow me because I follow Christ? How's our relationship with one another? I think Paul says, start with the church. It's important. It's important. Secondly, Paul also says, you know, in verse 18, he says, wives, submit yourself to your husband, right? Husbands, love your wives and do not harsh with them. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not embitter your children. And slaves, today we don't speak about that because I think we don't. In those days they had it. You know, when you look at all these verses, Paul is talking about relationship with the family. Relationship between the husband and the wife. Between the kids and the parents. Right? And I think that's important, my friend. Yes, it's good for us to make resolutions. You know, we want to be somebody. We want to do this. We want to, you know, do great things. Wonderful. I'm not against all this. That's wonderful. I think what Paul is saying, you know, we need to start relationship with the church and with our family. How's our relationship with one another in the family? Between husbands and wife, with your spouse, with your kids, and kids with your parents. How is it? And Paul emphasizes this. You know, when I was reading this, I realized Paul also mentions the exact same thing in Ephesians chapter 5. If you read Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 22, Paul says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. And verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved you. And in chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents. In verse 4 of chapter 6 in Ephesians, fathers, do not embrace your children. And then he goes on, you know, he speaks about relationship. That is important, my friend. Yes, and it's a spiritual relationship. Because the relationship that you have with your parents, it's a spiritual relationship. You have with your spouse, it's a spiritual relationship. And I think we need to start working from there. And that's what Paul is saying. And I think that's what the Word of God is emphasizing on. If you have good resolutions, praise God for that. But let me encourage you. Go back, reflect on this. How's my relationship at home? Is it pleasing to God? Right? Are there things that I need to, you know, sit down, discuss, you know, clarify, whatnot, you know? We need to build that relationship. That is key, according to the Word of God. You know, I was looking at, I told you I like numbers, and I was looking at certain numbers, you know, in the year 1986, in according to Canada statistics, right, Statistics Canada, in the year 1986, people or workers were spending an average of 4.2 hours or 250 minutes, right? Probably in a week with their family members, right? But today, in the year 2005, 20 years later, we are down by 45 minutes. In other words, we spend only 206 minutes. But in 1986, it was 250 minutes that we were spending. Can you imagine? You know, when you look at numbers, you know, it's going down. And I was looking at certain numbers too, and I don't have it with me. It says that people spend more time for themselves than with their families. Because sometimes we work long hours, right? And we have certain things that we want to do for ourselves. Dear friends, I think it's important for us, right? I think when you look at all these things, Paul is saying that we need to be building our relationship with God, with the church, with one another at home, with our loved ones, because that is the key. And Paul speaks about this, you know, in other chapters and all that. And lastly, you know, when you look at the passage, Paul, you know, you will say, you know, Pastor, you know, how do I do that? You know, how do I do this? How do I build my relationship with God? How do I do my relationship with my family? Right? How can I continue to live a life as a good Christian? And evidence to show that, you know, I'm raised with Christ. How do I do that? You know, and when I was looking at Paul's writing, comparing Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus and also in Colossians, you know, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, right? And some scholars say when Paul wrote these two letters, he wrote these letters at the same time. And that's why you tend to see the same theme or the same thoughts floating in both these letters. And Paul writes, you know, when he speaks about, you know, speaking, if you realize in chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs, which we read in Colossians, right? And in verse 22, we also read in Colossians. But then if you read in verse 18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying, it is only possible when you are filled with the Spirit. With the Spirit, my friend. With the Holy Spirit of God in us. Have you realized when Paul uses a word, I was trying to look at the Greek word, when, you know, when you have wine, what happens? The wine controls you. Right? You tend to speak some words and after that you say, what did I say? I didn't know what I said. Right? Because what is happening? You know, the wine is in control of you. Paul using the same language here, he says, but be controlled by the Spirit. Right? To be filled with the Spirit. And so only when you are filled with the Spirit, in other words, when you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, what happens? I think we are able to encourage one another. We're able to to love our spouse, we are able to build our relationship at home, in our families, in our communities. We are able because we are moved by the Spirit. We are moved by the Spirit. And one of the ways to do that, you know, as I told you, if you compare Colossians, Paul says in this particular word, and in verse 16, he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. In other words, Paul is saying, to be filled with the Spirit is to be word-filled. So when a person says, Pastor, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't read my Bible, then according to Paul, then we need to put a big question mark about us, whether we are Spirit-filled. According to these both writings of Paul, you realize to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with God's Word. And to be filled with God's Word richly. That's what Paul is trying to say. So if a Christian says, I don't read God's Word and I don't pray, then I think we need to question his Christian standing or his life. Because according to the Word of God, you know, when a person is filled with the power of the Spirit, then he is filled with the Word of God. Because what is happening, you know, he engages himself in God's Word. He listens to God's words. He abides in God's Word. That's what Paul says, you know, in deed or in word, he's trying to live a life according to God's Word, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. Are we filled with the Spirit? I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, where do I start? I think we start with our devotional life. How's the devotional life today? Yes, we make a lot of resolutions. Did we make resolutions about telling God, Lord, I want to be filled with your word daily. I want your word of God to have control in my life. I made a resolution also this year when I started. I told myself there are certain things I want to read in the scriptures because I want to really allow the word of God to dwell in my life, to challenge me, to motivate me, and also to strengthen me. Yes, I do read my scriptures daily, but I made some intentional, you know, decision to ask God, you know, to strengthen me as I read particular passages of God's Word. And I told myself, because then you're Spirit-filled. If you don't have God's Word, I think that's the good place to start. That's the good place to start. When you are filled with the Spirit, what happens, I think, it's interesting. When we are Spirit-filled, with your Word-filled, you are able to encourage one another in the faith. You are able to strengthen one another in the faith. You are able to live out your Christian life at home, right? Among your kids, among your parents, among your spouse. You are able to show God's love that He is living in us. I was looking at, you know, let me finish today's Communion Sunday, you know, just to tell you some things, you know. Do you know, if a person lives for 70 years, I don't know whether someone have given you these numbers. If you live for 70 years, I don't know, all of us are younger than 17, probably 69 plus, right? If you live for 70 years, they say a typical lifespan of 70 years. Do you know how many years we sleep? 23 years we are sleeping, right? Which is 32% or 32.9%. And we work for 16 years. We watch TV. Probably they didn't mention about the internet TV, I think so, right? The normal TV, not the LED TV. 8 years. You know how long we eat? We eat for 6 years. Wow. We're eating 6 years. And we travel 6 years. Leisure is 4.5 years. Illness, right? Seeing your doctor for all these things is 4 years. Dressing, I do not know whether is it about men or women, I do not know. It's 2 years to dress. Wow, 2 years. You're in front of your mirror dressing up, right? And you know something about religion? It says for religion, it's 0.5 years that we give for religion. Can you imagine? 0.5 years we give for religion, where else we give others more than 1 year, right? 2 years for for dressing, 4 years for illness, travel is 6 years, work is 16 years, TV is 8 years. Maybe now the social media is much more, right? I do not know how many years. We start with this and we end with this, and even in between we are also hooked to this. I do not know where they got these numbers. A good place to start. Engage yourself with God's word. If you do not, let me encourage you, there are daily breads at the back of our church. Grab one. Right? I'm hoping during the Lent season, you know, as a church, we can complete the New Testament, right? That we can read together the New Testament. When you're filled with the Word of God will lead us. The Word of God will have control in our lives, and He will help us in our relationship. He will help us, right, to grow, to set our minds on Christ, to live a life for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I always share a story before I close, and I thought I'll do that. I do not know whether it's related to my sermon, but I was sharing it with my wife today. I thought I'll share it with you. Right? It's about a small girl, and she was sitting with her on the lap of the grandfather. You know, and this grandfather was an old guy. She was sitting on the grandfather's lap, and he was reading the bedtime story. You know, kids, they like to touch you, right? They like to feel. And so she was just touching the cheek of the grandfather. And she was also touching the cheek of hers. And after some time, as the grandfather was reading, she stopped the grandfather and said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" What do you think the grandfather said? "Hello?" "Yes. Don't worry, it's a yes answer." Yeah. He said, "Yes, sweetheart," he answered. "God made me a long time ago." Then she paused for a while and she said, "Grandpa, did God make me too?" The grandpa responded, you know, with a lot of joy. He said, "Yes, indeed, honey. God made you just a little while ago." Kids are very smart. She touched the grandfather's cheek and she touched her cheek and she said, "Grandpa, you know something? God's getting better at it, isn't it?" I was also laughing when I was reading this. It's a humorous thing, but no, but I realized we love a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always wants to work good things, better things in our lives. And let me encourage you, start with God's word. Filled with the word of God, then you will allow the Spirit of God, the word of God, to direct your path. It will build your relationship at home, with your family, in your church, or in our church, in your community, wherever we are. And then as we are doing this, you know, we are living for the glory of God. Let's pray. Like the small girl who said, God is doing a better work now. I believe in a God who wants to do great and wonderful things in our life. And the Lord is always ready to help us. As James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and He draws near to you." When we make a spiritual resolution and say, "Lord, I want to draw near to you, Lord. I want to be word-filled. I want your word to dwell in me richly." That I will be able to listen, obey, Lord, and to be driven by your word. Because with your word, O God, I'm able to build my relationship at home. In church and people around me. because that's what you want, O God, and also with you. We thank you, Lord, because your word is a word about relationship. The Bible is a book about relationship. And the greatest command is to love God and to love one another. Father, we thank you, Lord, that even today we have the Holy Spirit in us. Help us, O Lord, to allow the Spirit of God to dwell in us richly. And we pray, God, that you'll bless each and every one of us here today. That it will be a wonderful year of knowing you, loving you, Lord, building our relationships at home and living for the glory of God. We just love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.